different sections of people, at least. It's one prayer, but it's three different sections of people that he prays for. And this is the longest recorded prayer in Scripture. And very rarely do we have actually an entrance into the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed with God the Father. Such a long prayer. And so it's such a very important prayer that we get to enter into. If you were to ask somebody, wouldn't you like to know what they're saying to so-and-so? Well, let me ask you this question. Wouldn't you like to know what Christ prayed to God the Father? Well, this is it. This is one. Matter of fact, I preached through the book of Hebrews. I don't know how many of you were here. But God's great work, or Christ's great work at this moment, is this high priestly work at this moment. He's on the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth to make intercessions for his people, for his saints. And so this is probably what he's praying for us, even now, to the Lord. And God always answers his son's prayers, by the way. And so he is our, praise the Lord, our great high priest. If you're looking for a priest, look to Jesus. No other man can stand in the way. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God. And so let's begin our reading in John chapter 17, verse number 1. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for, Lord, what it does and all the blessings it has to us and gives to us. And I pray, dear God, help us to be more than hearers. But Lord, help us to be doers of your word. But I pray most of all, let that application by your spirit be in our heart and life. Help us never to lose it, I pray. Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Now that hour is the hour of crucifixion. That's the hour he's talking about. He said, Lord, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You want to know what life eternal is? You know the Heavenly Father. That's it. He says, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And I'm going to stop my reading right there. But in verse 4, I put, O Father, glorify thou me. That's a strange request, but that is a prayer request that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father. And so he asked this prayer, he asked this request for himself. And by the way, he started praying for himself first. A lot of people say, well, it's wrong to start praying for yourself. Well, Christ did. And so he prays for himself. Many times we need to get ourselves right first. And so it's good to get our own heart right. I don't think Christ didn't have to give his heart right. But he was praying, and he began to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you look at this prayer, it is the high priestly prayer of our Father, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look into this prayer, we learn things about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we really study this, we learn really the will of God for our life. A lot of people are looking for the known will of God or the specific will of God. Well, God has revealed much of his will, and especially what he wants us right here in this chapter. And you'll never find the specific will if you don't obey this will. And so God shows us his will. And so he shows us his will. He gives us his desire. You want to know what Christ's desire is? This is it. This is Christ's desire. We want to get inside that and say, Lord, what is it that you prayed for? Well, this is what he prayed for. This is his personal heart. This is his personal prayer. And so this is a glimpse into the glory of Christ's prayer with God the Father. And that's a glimpse that we get to enter into, that we get to do. And so it's the Lord's prayer request. I'm going to show you one thing. I mentioned another, but I'm going to show you just one thing that the Lord prayed for you and me. Look, if you would, in the 15th verse. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He said, Lord, I'm praying, and he's praying for his disciples, but that's also a prayer for you and I. He said, Lord, I'm not telling you to take them out of the world, take them out of the trouble. I'm not telling you to take them out of the trial. He said, Lord, I want you to keep them in this world and keep them when they're in trouble. That's a prayer request. So he gives a prayer request for you and for me. He said, Lord, I don't want them to be left taken out of the world. You and I are here for a purpose. And then he says, but I want you to keep them. But God gives a great promise, and there's a message in itself in John chapter 16, this 33rd verse, the last verse, just before he enters into this prayer. And I want you to look at it. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, talking to the disciples, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's talking to the disciples. So he gives a prayer request in the 17th chapter, but he gives us a promise here in the 16th chapter. And in this promise, just before he enters into this prayer, his promise, he says, you know what? You and I are going to have tribulation. You and I are going to have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. But he said, in that tribulation, while you're in this world, he said, you need to be of good cheer. What does that mean? That means I can have joy in the midst of tribulation. I can have joy in the midst of trouble. Then he said, I'll give you my peace. He's already conquered the world. He said, I'll give you joy and I'll give you peace. How many times you know when trouble comes in your life, we all turmoil, worried up, worried about what's going to happen? God says, I can give you peace in the midst of that trouble. Then he goes on to say, last, he said, I'll give you the victory. The victory. Now I'm going to tell you, I don't know any greater promise in the scriptures than that one person that's going through a trouble or tribulation, a trial. That's God's promise. This is a prayer request, keep you in the world. Even though there's trouble, even though there's trials, even though there's tribulation, but in that I'll give you joy, I'll give you peace, I'll give you the victory. Because I've already overcome it. That's pretty good. So when we look at this prayer, this is a prayer request. This is a prayer that God, Son, prays to God the Father. So I want to look and see at least the first part of what Christ prayed for himself. And then at the end, I want to examine if that's what he prayed for himself, and I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't I be praying that for my own life? Wouldn't you think so? The Lord says, follow me. And so we're going to follow the Lord. Then we need to look to example. And this is his example here on this earth. And so let me show you the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for. God, I put down, this is what I need. This is what I need. I want you to look at verse number 1 and 2 again with me. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Now I want to read verse number 2 because it is a commentary or an explanation to verse number 1. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. In other words, Christ. He's speaking, I can't understand it, but he's saying it's almost speaking like it's already done. But yet he hadn't went to the cross. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now he said, Lord, you have given me power. Christ is saying he has power over all the flesh of the earth. Christ has power. Now this may be too loud, is it? All right, because it is kind of feeding through that Facebook. And so that's how you had volume on your laptop or phone, whatever you watched it. And so I want to make sure. And so Christ here, when you talk about the glory, he's saying that God gave him power. But he asked a prayer request in verse number 1. Christ asked a prayer request. Look what he asked. He says this is what I need, God. Father, the hour's come, glorify thy son. Do you know that's a prayer request? He said, Lord, I need you to glorify. I need you to honor me. He said, glorify thy son, that thy son may also glorify thee. That's the need. And he said, Lord, this is what I need. You know what he was saying? He said, Lord, I need the power in order to glorify thee. I need your power. That's what I need. You say, it's strange to me that Christ, who is the creator God, who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords, who is master of all things, created all the universe and all its galaxies, would ask or need anything. But yet he did. Yet he asked for it. He wouldn't ask unless he needed it. And so he asked God the Father for this prayer request. He said, Lord, this is what I need. I need your power. I mean, he had everything. So I, in my limited knowledge and my limited ability, and I mean that with all my heart, I don't know a whole lot. The more I study the Bible, the less I know. But I want to tell you something, what limited I know, I'm going to try to explain to you if I can what I believe that, what the scripture, it means. Now you may have a greater understanding, honestly you probably do. Some of you have sat under greater preachers and I have been amazed why you're sitting here. But the Lord's allowed you to be here. And you may have a greater understanding and a greater ability to explain it, but I'm going to try to explain to you why Christ had a need. Can I say this first off? Because I believe Christ himself limited himself. He limited himself when he took on flesh. He limited himself. He laid aside his glory. He didn't lay aside his deity. He was God, but he laid aside his glory, and he himself limited himself. I want you to look in Philippians chapter number 2. I believe that's the only portion of scripture we'll turn to besides here. But in Philippians chapter number 2, I want you to see this. You know these portions of scripture, but I want you to understand why he had a need. I am trying to come to a point. You may say, I wish he'd get to that point, but I'm coming to that point. Look in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. I'm sorry, verse number 6, or verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all equal. There is a triune God. Now, I don't understand it, but he said, I'm equal with God. And the only God you and I will ever see, the visible seeing of God, is Christ Jesus. You and I will never see God because God himself is a spirit. He that worships must worship in the spirit of truth. But when you look at Christ, you'll look at God. You and I, if I had any explanation, I'd say just you and me. You and me are pictures, at least in type, of the Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. Can any one exist without the other? Well, you could be dead spiritually. But you have a spirit and you have a soul and you have a body. And all three of those function together. When the body's gone, the spirit and soul's gone. You take the spirit and soul away and the body's dead. All three of them function together. Who I am, my body is just an expression of who I am. This is not who I am. Inwardly, this expresses who I am. And so that's the best way I can explain to you that he says he's equal with God. He said, verse number 6, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. What'd he do? He made himself of no reputation. He says on there, and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of man. Being found, verse 8, in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And so when you look at that, the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself limited his own power. He limited himself. I went to school late in life. I was thinking earlier, trying to figure out when I went to college. And I think I was about 35 when I went to school. And when I went to college, and I remember going there at 35, and I thought in my mind, I said, man, I'll be like 40 before I graduate. This is a little late in life. My dad said, don't you think you ought to already have that figured out? But I didn't. And so I just knew I'd been counseled that I need to prepare for the ministry. And so I went to college. But you know, when I went to college, they made us read a student handbook. Stephanie probably knows about that. Chad knows about that. Maybe Miss Wallace knows about that. Maybe some others that know about it. They give you a student handbook. If you went to college, they give you a student handbook. And they wanted us to read that handbook and then sign off that we agreed to it and that we read it. I don't remember, but I remember reading it, some of it. And I read that book and I signed off onto it. You know, when I looked at that, I was 35 years old. I was married. I was working full time, going to school full time. When I look at that, you know what that standard student handbook was written to? A bunch of teenagers. That's who it was written to. And so I looked at that, I thought, you know what? That really doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to me. That really doesn't apply to me. I don't really think that's bad. I don't think that's sinful. I said, look at all those things, but I agreed to it. You understand what I'm saying? I signed my name and agreed that I would abide under that authority. Even though I had the authority of my own self and probably had the right to get away with it. And I'm not saying I was perfect because I did break the rules. But I put myself under that authority. And God would bless that. That's exactly, if I could explain it in some way, Christ himself put himself or limited himself. He placed himself under the authority, in a sense, as a man. Just as much God, but yet man. He didn't lose any authority. He didn't lose any deity, but he laid aside his glory. And so when he comes to this, he comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, this is what I need. I need your power in order to glorify thee. He said, this is what I need. I want to show you, and I don't understand this part either, but I want to show you that all that Christ had, God gave him. I didn't understand that. And I still don't understand it. But I want you to look at this portion of scripture. All that was given to Christ. Can I show you this? If you would, look if you would. First thing I put down, he was given power over all flesh. I already mentioned it. Look at verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Christ was given power. I put down, God's given him those that will be saved. Look at verse number 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Look if you would, verse number 9. I believe it's number 9. Look at verse number 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look if you would, in verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And so all of the saved were given by God to Christ. Now you say, how do you explain that? I do know that God knows the elect. And by the way, I personally believe the elect are those that receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe that there's any person that's elect to heaven and elect to hell. I don't believe that at all. But you cannot escape the fact that God has chosen. It's here all in Scripture. There is elect of the Jews. Why did it come to the Jews, not to the others? Well, it's friendly to the gospel to go through the Jews, to the world. He has his elect. Some he speaks of the Jews, but he has his chosen, and his chosen are the elect. I believe, just like Tom Malone taught me years ago, he said, Christ is the elect. And when I choose Christ, God chooses me. If I love Christ, then God loves me. If I refuse and reject Christ, then God will refuse and reject me. I believe it's that simple, but it's probably not. I'm not powerful enough. I don't know enough. But he says here that God gave you and I to the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave also him a work to do. Look at verse number 4. I have glorified thee on, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God the Father gave a work to God the Son. And if he gave a work to God the Son here on this earth, don't you think that God the Father gave a work to every one of his children here on this earth? If he gave his work, what is it? You think about it. What is our work? He goes on to say, he gave him his disciples. Look at verse number 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Even his own disciples, he said, Lord, you gave me. Praise the Lord. I put down, God gave him his word to teach and to preach. Verse 8, that's hard to understand. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. He said, the very words of scriptures, God gave them to God his Son, and God the Son gave them to his disciples. Now I'm just showing you all the things that God gave to his own Son. Look again, he said, not only what he teach, he gave him his glory. Look at verse number 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. Even the glory in which Christ had here on this earth was given by God the Father. You say, Brother Sewell, what are you trying to get to? And at one point I'm trying to tell you that all that Christ was given by God. You say, Brother Sewell, what do we have? I've been given salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been given salvation. I have been given the promises and the power of his inerrant, infallible word of God, and so have you, if you know the Lord. I have been given the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've been given those things. I've been given an entrance to heaven and an access in prayer. I've been given all those things. And Christ was given all of these things. But yet he said, he had a prayer request. He said, Lord, I need your power in order to glorify thy name. And that if Christ needed that prayer request and needed to pray for it, don't you think we need that, to pray for that for our own lives? We have all these blessings that's been given to us, but we need God's power in order to make it applicable and applicable in our own lives. We need God. In every part of our life, we need God. Christ was on the way to the cross, and somewhere between the Lord's Supper to the cross, on the road there leaving, he prayed and looked up to heaven. Not kneeling. You read, he looked up to heaven and he prayed this prayer. Longest prayer in Scripture. Right there. I don't know exactly where he was at, but he was on the road there to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, God, I need your power. We need to examine, Lord, how much do I pray that I need God? I need the Lord. Let me give you number two. I need him to glorify him. God says this, God, this is what I've done to glorify thee. You know, he said, I've done a work to glorify thee. Look at verse number four. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And he begins to remind the Lord. He said, Lord, you remember, this is what I did. You think God didn't know it? I'm just telling you, Christ the Son prayed to God the Father and said, Lord, I have glorified thee on this earth. And I finished the work that you've given me to do. You know, this is an open secret to know really what the will of God is and really know how to glorify our God. We have on our little gospel track, I put down, I had the other track I had for the first church I pastored, I put down on the bottom, seeking to glorify the Lord. Seeking. I want to glorify God. I'm not saying I do it, and I know you don't do it all the time, but I want to glorify the Lord. I want to give him the glory and the honor in which he deserves. Well, Christ reveals it. He said, Lord, while I was here on this earth, I glorified thee. And it's an open secret how he glorified the Lord or God the Father. One, because he said, I did the work that you asked me to do. What was his work? What was his work? And by the way, if it's Christ's work, it's our work. It's my work. It's your work. First thing he said, I have manifested. I've manifested. I've revealed who you are. And so when we look at, as far as the manifestation, look at verse number six. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. He said, the first thing I did is I manifested your name to these disciples. In other words, he said, I revealed the very nature of God. If you look at the word name, that word name there is nature. He said, I have manifested the nature of who God is. And the best, I've told you before, mostly what people are going to read is not the word, not the scripture. They're going to read another Christian if they're lost. And they're going to see if this preacher, and they're going to see if you as a preacher or as a teacher or as a Christian is manifesting the very nature, the very name Christ. That's what they're looking to as a witness. And he said, in order to glorify thee, he said, I've manifested thy name. I thought about the thing. How did he do that? What is the nature of God? Well, that's an inexhaustible. We'd be here longer. But I will tell you, the first thing I put down is God is a God. His nature is to forgive. He manifested his forgiveness, God's forgiveness. You remember that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching there, I believe, in the temple, and the Pharisees trying to catch the Lord Jesus Christ in some sort of trap. They brought this woman, they caught in the very act of adultery, and they bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ, get her all the way up front, so to speak, and when they had an opportunity, they spoke while he was teaching and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What are you going to do with the Lord? And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say a word, but he began to kind of scribble there on the ground. They began to keep accusing, keep saying, keep trying to. And finally he said, he made this statement. He said, ye that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And out of their guilty conscience, they left one by one, even the Pharisees. And the only person who was left there is the Lord Jesus Christ and that woman. And he asked her, he said, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. He said, then I won't accuse you. He said, go and sin no more. You know what he did? He manifested his forgiveness. He manifested the nature of who God is. Can I say this? Not only did he manifest forgiveness, he manifested compassion. We went through the book of Mark, and Mark chapter number 1, I believe in the 41st verse, there was a leper, and you read the other accounts, I believe in Matthew, and also I think in Luke, you see the other accounts, that leper was full of leprosy. He would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people would know what he was like. But the Bible said he was filled with leprosy. And he cried out, he said, God, would you have compassion on me? If you read the account, I believe it's in Matthew, it said he was bombarded. Christ was bombarded with multitudes, wanting and needing and pulling at him. In the Bible, he said, I will be thou clean. What is that? He manifested the compassion and the forgiveness of our Lord and our Savior. Now, can I tell you this? He manifested mercy and grace. Think about with me in your mind when he was on that cross, those Roman soldiers nailed him to that wooden cross. They mocked him. By the way, there was two thieves on either side of him, but both of them mocked him. If you read all the accounts, you see that both of them railed against him. And maybe they thought they would get pulled off that cross. I don't know, but both of them railed him. And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? One of the prayers that he prayed on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was God's mercy and grace. You and I are saved not in our own merit, not in our own goodness, not in any one deed that we have ever done, unrighteousness, but out of the mercy and the grace of our God. He portrayed, he manifested the mercy and grace of God. Even to the thief, when the thief said, Lord, would you remember me when I enter thy kingdom? And he said, today will you be with me in paradise? Now I will tell you something. What would you do if somebody ridiculed you right there in front of someone else, in front of the whole there, the world that he knew at that time? What would you do for those that nailed you to a cross, ripped your beard and your hair from your, put a thorn, a crown of thorns on there and whipped you to the point where you couldn't even recognize you were a man? Would you cry out, Father, forgive them? But Christ did. He manifested God's nature. And if last he's on that cross, he manifested the love of God. Why did Christ die? Not for his own sins, but he died for my sin. He died for yours. He died in my place, and he died in your place. And so the Lord said, this is what I've done, God. He said, I've manifested the very nature of God. You and I, if we're going to do and reveal God's glory, then the open secret is we're going to live like Christ lives here on this earth. But he went on to say another thing, not only manifest, he said, I declared thy message. I declared. I want you to look with me, see if I can find the scripture verse as far as declaring his name. He said, I've declared his message. I didn't write it down, but it's there. He said, I've declared the message that you've given me. I've given that message. I've given the word out. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gave the message of salvation, the plan of salvation. And one reason why I love the book of Gospel of John is because I preached through it. And I preached through it through prisons, in the jails, and I've seen what it's done. I'm talking about God's word. But I've used the Gospel of John to preach through the miracles of God, and I've seen God do miracles in men's lives. I've seen him do that. I've seen God change their lives. And in this Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, it only gives a certain period of mission, but the Gospel of John was to reveal who God was, that he is Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what the gospel is all about, that he is God. And so when you look at the thing, what did he declare? Let me give you some things he declares in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the bread of life. He satisfies, he fulfills. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the door of the sheep. You want to have fellowship and have pasture? Come through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am not only the resurrection and the life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the way to that life. Then he says in the 15th chapter of John, he said, I am the true vine. What's he doing in all this? In Moses, Moses said, Lord, who should I say sent me? He said, you say that I am, send me. He said, Abraham, he said, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew me as Almighty, but they did not know me as Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. They didn't know me as I am. He said, but you go tell my children, my people, that I am, that I am. And that's exactly what we see in the Gospel of John. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and life. I'm it. And so what did he do? He said, I'm just declaring God's message. It's not a church. It's not a creed. It's not a code. But it's Christ. It's Christ. He manifested his nature and he declared the message. You know, people say, I want to do the deeper life. I want to go deeper with the life. I don't think you can go any deeper than Jesus Christ, do you? That deserved a spot. Do you think you can go any deeper than Christ? No. And what was Christ's work here on this earth? To manifest the nature of God and to give the message of God. You can know all the theological truths and dot all your doctrinal I's, but if you don't give out the message of Christ, you and I are not glorifying our God. He said, that's the open secret. You can't get any deeper than that, than to share Jesus Christ. And so when you look at this, he said, Lord, I need you. I'm fixing to go to the cross, and I need the power. The same way you give me the power of the flesh, I need your power to glorify thee. He said, Lord, this is what I've done on this earth. I've glorified thee. The open secret for God's will for every one of our lives. Lastly, and very quickly, I'm not going to say a whole lot on it because I don't have time really to say much. But he says, lastly, God, this is what I desire. Lord, this is what I want. You won't know what God desires. This is it. This is what God desires. Look, if you would, verse number 5. O now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He said, you know what I want, Lord? I want that fellowship. I want that oneness. He said, I want that glory that I had with you before. He wasn't asking for the power. He wasn't asking for the position. He wasn't asking for position. He was asking for a oneness, a fellowship. If you've ever been to a place with God in sweet fellowship and you've fallen from that place, I can tell you this, your greatest desire is to be back there, is to go back there. The Lord Jesus said, taste, or God himself said, taste and see that I'm good. If you ever tasted, you want to taste again. If you've ever drank, you want to drink again. And that's exactly what he's saying here. He said, Lord, I want what you once gave me. I want to have fellowship. I wouldn't think that Christ would ever pray those prayers, but he prayed it, all of them, for himself. He said, Lord, this is what I need. He said, this is what I've done. This is what I want. So I want to examine, if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I've asked myself and I'm asking you, have we ever prayed, Lord, I need thee to glorify thee? Have we ever yielded? The open secret is to yield to the work God has given us to do. And do it. Manifest it. Declare it. That's the open secret. That's how God is glorified. Lord, I have finished the work. I've done what you asked me to do. Are we even doing that? Are we manifesting? Are we declaring this message? And it is our greatest desire to glorify our sake. That was Christ's prayer. That was Christ's will. That was Christ's greatest desire. And if it's our Savior, the one we should follow, then our highest motive, our highest will, our highest desire should be those three things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.